Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay. Well, we haven't been in 1 John for a few weeks. We had a review, we had a training night a couple weeks ago, and Lord willing, we'll want to do another one of those again soon, because we didn't get to do everything that we wanted to do. So hopefully we'll get to have another one of those.
You know how we're doing that meal thing every month? Is the next one next week?
Third Friday of every week.
Third
Friday of every week, we have a potluck.
Every
month? Yeah.
There's only one Friday in a week.
Thank you. Third Friday of every week. Third Friday of every month. Okay? Third Friday of every month, we have a potluck, so you guys need to bring something. And we have our teaching, and we just hang out and eat.
That's
okay.
18th,
so make sure you're home from Washington. Just fly home. I have a couple camels I can lend you, you know. It's an inside joke. Okay, so we had a training night, and then last Friday, we listened to a great CD from MacArthur called Can You Lose Your Salvation? And that was an outstanding message. If you guys missed it and you want a copy, just come and see me. So what I usually like to do is, when we miss a few weeks from our lesson, I like to go back and do a little review of what we've been learning. So we're going to do that tonight. Just kind of go through what we've been through, discuss a few things that stick out, and then next week, Lord willing, we will be back. Anyone know where we are?
First John chapter 3, verse 12.
Almost.
Verse 10.
We'll be back on verse 10 of chapter 3. Okay? So open up your Bible. It should be there. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you guys were here a couple Sunday or two Sundays ago when I taught, I reviewed some of this. But who in here knows why John is emphasizing that, hey, that which was from the beginning, talking about Christ, Christ who was with God and was made manifest to us. What does that mean, that Christ was manifested? Anyone know? No, close. What does it mean to be made manifest?
To be made an appearance.
Okay, exactly. Okay, here you have God. Okay, and he's made manifest. He comes to this earth as a baby. Okay, and he's rendered apparent. Okay, so he comes as fully God yet fully man. Okay, and at this time, there was a lot of false teachers called the Gnostics. Okay, and they taught that matter, your flesh, was evil. Okay, so that Christ really couldn't have been a real man. He could not have been in a flesh like us, because then his flesh would have been evil, just like ours. And that's what they were teaching. Okay, so John, everyone know who John is, right? He was one of the apostles. He was known as one of the sons of thunder. And he's also known as the one whom Christ loved. Okay? So this is the Apostle John, who is now older, okay, in his advanced age. Okay? So John starts off here, you know, immediately attacking what these Gnostics, these false teachers, are saying. And again, they're saying that our matter is evil. Okay? So John is saying, no. In fact, that which was from the beginning, we've seen, we've heard, our hands have handled. Because they said that it only appeared that Jesus had a physical body, but really he didn't. It just looked that way. But John's saying that's not right. We've seen Him. We've heard Him. And we've touched Him. So indeed, Christ did have a physical body. He was fully man. Okay, He had, you know, hair on His arms and hair on His head, and He breathed in and out and blinked His eyes and spoke and went, you know, He was thirsty and got hungry, just like you and I. And John's saying that exactly thing here. Yes, He was fully man. He was in His flesh. We've seen, we've heard, we've touched Him. And John here is so very lucky to have some of the most intimate times with Christ. Can you imagine what it would have been like to walk with Christ on a daily basis, just listening to Him? I mean, just imagine just walking down the road to the next town or whatever, and here you have God walking next to you, talking, discussing things. I can't even imagine what that would be like. And so John is privileged and blessed to have these intimate settings. So he's defending that, hey, we have heard, we've seen, and he knows firsthand. Okay? Now I want you to look at verse 3. He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." What is important about this when he says that you may have fellowship with us? What is important about that? Is he saying, well, you want to be with us? We're the in guys here. Is that what he's saying? Let's look at the very next sentence. "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." See, the reason that he was telling his readers that, hey, that you may have fellowship with us, is he's saying because our fellowship, we have fellowship with the Father, with God, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not that there's anything good about us. It's just, hey, our fellowship is with God. That's what's important about our fellowship. "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." And John is saying, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now lately, you know, I would call it a false teaching, definitely. You've had people, and it's even been on the news, that, you know, Jesus had, you know, girlfriends and this and that, and, you know, lived a life of... And is there any proof of that? And this says, in God there is no darkness at all. It doesn't say that, well, you know, when He was on earth, since He was a man, He lived it up a little. Blasphemy. If it's not in the Word of God, it's false teachings. Okay? And that is definitely a false teaching that is going on right now. And in fact, you'll see it on the national news, just stories about it and things like that. And we need to say, you know what? That's trash. That's garbage. God is perfect. God is sinless. He can't, in Him, there's not even the capability or because He is light. He's perfect. He's holy. So He's saying here that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. John is writing here telling the church, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him," that is, if you and I say that, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, okay, I claim to be a Christian. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness," what does darkness mean?
Sin.
Okay, if I claim to be a Christian, I tell my friends at school, at work, you know, my family members, yeah, I'm a Christian, but yet I go and walk in darkness, I walk in sin. What does it say here? We lie and do not practice the truth. See, it's one thing to call yourself a Christian, but it's another thing to live it. You know, any of us can talk the talk. But who's really walking the walk? Pretty much what John is saying here. You okay? You need a drink of water?
Yeah.
Go ahead and step out. Get a drink of water.
Sorry.
That's okay. But look at verse 7 now. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now this is a key. I mean, there's so much stuff in here. Look at verse 7 again. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, fellowship with one another. Important about that. Two things. Walking as He has walked. Knowing that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all, no sin. He is light. And but it says here that if we walk as He has walked, for He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, guys, we cannot have true fellowship with one another. We cannot have a real love for one another if we are not walking in the light where Christ is. Because you know what? My sinfulness, my flesh is selfish. And it's thinking about me. You know, and it wants to get mad at you guys and sin against you guys and don't have time to help you guys. But Christ tells us to love one another. And the only way we can truly have fellowship with one another and love one another is if is imitating Christ. Then we can have true unity and true fellowship and true love for one another. Then we can demonstrate that, you know, by going and helping our sister move. Because you know what? The sinfulness wants to say, you know what? I want to sleep in tomorrow. I've got so much to do. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. And it's all inward. But Paul tells the Philippians, considers others' needs before your own needs. And so we go out of our way to help one another, to serve one another. That's what true fellowship is. And John is saying here, if we walk in the light where Christ is, we have fellowship with one another. And I don't know about you guys, but I've always longed, you know, to have true unity, true fellowship. I mean, isn't that what we want? If we're believers, yes. We want unity. We want to work through the tough times. I mean, we're going to have tough times. We're family. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to make each other mad sometimes. But that doesn't change the fact that we're brothers and sisters and that our love goes deep and that we would gladly, hopefully, lay down our lives for one another. That should be our mindset. Just as Christ did for us. Just as Christ came and became what? Did He come and look to be served? No, He came to serve. And He came to die for you and I. And that should be our mindset. So don't forget that. Now, continuing on. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are perfect and You did a good job. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, because even as Christians, we sin. I mean, as long as we're here on earth, we live in these fleshful bodies, we're going to sin. Every single day you wake up, you're going to struggle with sin. You know what? The very next verse, John gives us a way out. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does this mean here? Does this mean that I must go to a man and confess my sins so that my sins will be forgiven? Yes. God is the only one who can forgive my sins, your sins. no man can forgive your sins, for he is a sinner just as you are. What this is saying here, if we confess our sins, Lord, I've just sinned against you. Forgive me. I've sinned against my holy God, the God who gives me life, the God who died for my sins. Please forgive me. And this is a continual thing. If you're a true Christian, a true believer, a true child of God, you're continually confessing your sins to Him, asking for forgiveness, because you're grieved over your sins. Okay? Now, verse 10. If we say that we have sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, anyone in here want to make God a liar? I don't. I don't want to make God a liar. Okay? And so if we say that we have not sinned, you do that very thing. You know? If Matthias was to come up here one day and say, I was going to try and do a French impersonation, but I... you know, I have not sinned. You know, thank the Lord, he would never do that. But just as an example, if he did that, we would be reading, well, now wait a minute. This says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And the word is not in us. In other words, I'm not a true believer. I'm not even a Christian if I'm boasting that I have not sinned. You see, the book of 1 John is a clear picture of a Christian and a non-Christian. It draws the line here. You know, if you say you're a Christian but yet you walk in darkness, guess what? You're over here. You're not a Christian. If you say you have not sinned, you're over here. You're not a Christian.
Can I add something about that?
Sure.
That's about when you think about the Pharisees at the time of Jesus. In fact, the two things that you can reproach to them, the first thing is that they are acting not out of love but out of the law, trying to fulfill the law by themselves without any love. It was not coming from the heart. And this is one thing we need to pay attention even today for ourselves. The second thing, this is self-righteousness. This is they're thinking they're doing great and they're much better than the rest of the people. And this is also something we need to pay attention to. Every time we're thinking, hey, I'm not doing too bad, I'm much better than all this bunch of people, we are sinning. We are not humble before God. We are sinning. We are considering ourselves worthy of something before God when this is not true. We are just sinners like everybody else, and I must identify myself with the worst sinner that is out there. The guy was killed, murdered, and raped so many people. I'm the same sinner in the eyes of God as he is.
That's right. Thank you. Sin is sin.
Am I saying we're not a sinner? Just saying that's sinning.
That's right. That's very good. Did you hear what she said? Okay, on to chapter 2. So, I mean, in chapter 1, there's only 10 verses. But there is so much there. That's why I encourage you guys to, man, be reading this stuff. There is so much there. Even in that 10, 15 minutes of breezing through that, there is so much even more there. So please go home and study all that stuff. Let's look at chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Okay, now sounds a little bit confusing. Okay, He just said that If you say that you have not sinned, you make God a liar and the word is not in you. Now he's saying, my little children, I write these things so that you may not sin. Who thinks they know what John is saying here? Chris?
He writes these things so that we will not continue in sin.
Okay, very good.
Let's also get the difference between having in your heart being willing to keep sinning, to do something because it's pleasing to you, to your flesh, or to your earthly desires, or otherwise, having your mind set on God, and refusing to do that. And you can sometimes you're going to fail. You want to do one thing and you do the other one, but you still want to do a thing that God wants. Mm-hmm. And this is the difference between always continuing in sin and just falling every once in a while.
Right.
He's bringing it to our attention so that we know that we are sinning by saying that, you know, we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness. By him telling us this, we're going, hey, wait, I'm doing that. And now that he says that we may not sin, we have the chance to repent because we now have the knowledge that, hey, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's some good insight. He's saying here that I write to you so that you may not sin. He's saying you may not have a lifestyle of sin, that you do not continue in your sin, that indeed you confess your sins to the Lord. Because he is our advocate. He did pay the price for your sins. All the wrong things that you and I have done, I mean, every single day, even before you were born and done anything wrong, Christ died for your sins. I mean, can you think about that? Well, what about my future sins, Brandon? That's exactly my point. Before you were even born, your sins were forgiven you. What an amazing thing. He is our advocate. Verse 3. Now by this, knowing that he's our advocate, that John is saying that, hey, don't live in sin. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. Not just yours, but for the whole world. Now by this, we know that we know him, if we only say that we're a Christian. Right?
Yeah.
No. We know, we know that we know him if we try our best to keep his commandments. If I try my best to honor my father and mother. No. If we keep his commandments. If we keep his commands. Period. This is how we know if we truly are a Christian. If indeed we do have a relationship with the Lord. If we keep his commands. And we're keeping them because of our love for him. Of what he's done for us. We say, God, you know what? You've told me to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've made me alive. You've opened my eyes. You give me life to breathe. Lord, I will do my best to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Lord, because you have made me a new person, I will try my best to honor my father and mother. And when I fail, I will repent. I will confess my sins. Father, because you've made me a new person, I will put others in front of myself. I will die to myself and serve my brothers and sisters. That's keeping his commands. Now on the flip side, verse 4. He who says, I know him. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I believe in God. And does not keep his commands. What is that person?
A liar.
A liar. And the truth is what?
Not
in him. This person is not a believer, not a Christian. Period. The true Christian will keep God's commands because he's been made a new person. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Again, there's that love of God. His love, that's the only way you and I can love one another and have fellowship and love him because of his work in us. He who says he abides in him. What does abide mean? Caitlin? Very good. To stay in a given place, state, or relation. To dwell, to endure. He who says he continues or remains in Christ ought himself also walk just as Christ walked. What does that mean? When it says that, hey, I want you to walk just as Christ walked, What does that mean? That means that the... No, more like this. Is that what it's saying there? No, to be imitators of Him. How He lived His life. That's what that means there. Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. It's what Christ has been saying since the moment... Well, okay, He didn't speak as when He was a baby, but as God, He probably could have. But since He grew, and even as a young boy, 12 years old, what was He doing?
Preaching.
He was in the temple discussing theology, if you will, with these leaders, supposedly. And they were amazed that here is this young 12-year-old boy having these discussions with us. You know? All the other 12-year-old boys were, you know, throwing sticks at girls or something, you know. But hey, He just said that we should walk as He walked. So at a young age, you young guys, listen, you young men, even you very 9-year-olds, need to be imitators of Christ and learn the things of God. Be imitators of Him. Continuing on then. Look at verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Again, John drawing a line. He who says I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm in the light where Christ is. I go to church. You know, I believe. But yet you hate your brother. And this doesn't mean, you know, your blood brother. But your brothers, your sisters in the Lord, is in darkness. You're in sin. You're not a Christian. For you cannot be a Christian and hate your brother. It can't be done. If you've been made new, you love your brother. You will die for your brother. You'll serve your brother. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's a strong statement there. Not only are you in darkness, but you don't even know where you're going. Because living in this darkness in which you're enslaved to has blinded you. Doesn't it make you so thankful that God has opened your eyes and made you a new person? Knowing that you too were once lost and enslaved and in darkness and not knowing where you were going? Praise God. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Look at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Powerful. Very powerful. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Guess what, guys? If you want to do your own thing and live it up for this world and be involved in this world and do the things that this world is doing, the love of the Father is not in you. And there's that line once again. He goes on to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. Tell me, give me one logical reason to love this world, to be involved in this world. Oh, but I just want to have so much fun right now, being with my friends, fitting in, doing this and that. I'll get right with God when I'm an adult. You're not guaranteed to walk out this room, much less live to be an adult. God holds your breath, your very next breath in His hands. I beg you, do not love this world. Don't be involved in it. You've been called to be different. The Bible says that we're the aliens here. We're the strangers. That's not our home. Why in the world then would we want to love this place or the things of it? It's passing away. Does anyone want to pass away with it? I don't. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Forever. If you remain in God, continue, dwell, endureth in Christ, He will keep you forever. You will remain forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. Now this, listen to this, okay? Here he's talking about these Antichrists, false teachers. And it's not like they came from the outside trying to trick us and deceive us. Where did they come from? They came from us. You mean Brother Bill wasn't really a Christian? Man, he was in church every Sunday, sang the songs, he talked. He did all these good things. I thought he was a Christian. And John is saying here, these antichrists, these false teachers, they came from us. They were with us, but they went out from us, but they were not of us. He says, yeah, they might have come to church and done this and that, but they were never really of us. These were guys who claimed to be Christians, claimed to be in light, claimed to love his brother, but really never did. Never were true Christians. For if they truly had been of us, they would have continued with us. If we're true children of God, we'll continue to be children of God. We won't depart the faith. He will keep us. Listen to this. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. So how do we know? How do we know who's really a Christian? How important is it to know the Word of God? Yeah. Very. And to have a hearer that's listening very carefully to what we say to one another, to how we influence one another. Because if they came out from us, as John says they did here, they're going to try and deceive us, which is why he warns us. In verse 20 it says, but you. Now he's just talked about these antichrists, these false teachers who were out there deceiving, lying, who were among us. He says, but you, the true children, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. The NASB says, you know all. And what does that mean? Does it mean, oh yeah, I know all things. Man. No, you know all things concerning the Word of God, concerning what I have taught you. Don't be deceived by these guys. You know the truth. You have an anointing. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And I have not written to you, John says, because you do not know the truth, but because you know the truth. And you know that no lie is of the truth. You know that Christ was a man. He did live, and He did have flesh. And guess what? He, being fully man, He had no sin. You know the truth. You know that you can't claim to be a Christian and yet walk in darkness. Because these false teachers also said that because your matter, because your flesh is evil, then you can go and sin and do whatever you want and it would not affect your spirit. They said that there would be no consequences then. Because your flesh is evil, go and live it up. Do whatever you want to do. John says, you know the truth, and you know you can't act like that. If you claim to be a Christian, so walk in Him.
I have another verse. It's not in 1 John, but it goes along the lines of what you're talking about in 2 Peter. And in verse 2:21, it says, For it would have been better for them never to know the way of righteousness, than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered them. What the true prophet says has happened to them, the dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. And what that's saying is that it's better for them never to know righteousness, you know, than to turn back.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Then he moves on here, verse 22. He says, who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. You see, because I remember talking about this. There is a cult, false teachers, who go around knocking on your door, who deny the deity of Christ and say that He is not God. Okay? And here he's saying that this is a liar if you deny that Jesus is the Christ. He goes on to say that you are an antichrist if you deny the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. So when that Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door, you tell him, you know what? If you deny Christ, you deny the Father. But he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing, he talks about this anointing again. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. See, this anointing from God continues and stays and remains in you. Because if it were up to us, we would all blow it. We would all lose our salvation if it was up to us. But God keeps us. This anointing remains. And you do not need that anyone teach you. What does that mean? Does that mean that I shouldn't be up here right now? What's that mean then? Okay, it's close. In fact, John does say, yeah, you do know the truth. You do not need anyone teach you some new doctrine. You do not need anyone teach you that your matter is evil, so go live it up. You do not need anyone to teach you that it only appeared as if Christ had a physical body. You do not need anyone to teach you anything that is contrary to the Word of God, is what he is saying here. But this anointing leads you and guides you and teaches you. And you know the truth. And now, little children, verse 28, abide in Him, and when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. In other words, at Christ's second coming, when He appears and everyone sees, we don't have to go and run and hide under the table or behind the puppet thing and be ashamed. Oh no, Christ came. It really happened. Wait, I wasn't living right. You know, can maybe give me a few minutes. The true child of God, it will be a glorious day. And we don't have to be ashamed. If you know that He is righteous, and you do, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Should that be our mindset? Whatever. When you guys read this, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. If that doesn't knock you to your knees and make you praise Him, something is wrong with you. Because what a great love this is, which is what John is saying. Here's John. Remember, he had some of the most intimate times with Christ. He's known as the one, as like I said, the one whom Christ loved. Even he is amazed. The fact that the Apostle John, he is amazed that he would be called a child of God. The God who created the heavens and the earth. From dust He made a man. What can you say? It's just amazing. That you and I can be called a child of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Because you are a child of God, the world is not going to know you. So don't expect it to. Don't expect to fit in. Don't expect to be loved by the world. It's not going to happen if you are a true child of God. Don't be surprised when it hates you. Don't be surprised when it makes fun of you because you want to live a moral life. You want to live a life that is pleasing to God. Don't be surprised when persecution comes. Don't be surprised one day if they want to kill you for your faith. It hated Him. It did not know Him. It's going to hate you. It's not going to know you. So don't try to be like the world. Don't love the world. Please. And beloved, now we are children of God. And here's that goal thing again. To be like Christ. Every day that you wake up, we should start our day in prayer. God, help me today. Help me to be like You. I to myself. Help me to love as You have loved me. Lord, may I walk just as You have walked. That is our goal, to be like Him. What is the prize? That one day when He appears, we will be made just like Him. We will be in our glorified bodies. We will struggle with sin no more. We will be made perfect just as He is. What a day, and I can't wait because I hate my sin. I hate that I, make people mad sometimes. I hate that I sin against my holy God. I hate it. I hate it. I hate sin. I cannot wait for that day that the prize is had. when I will sin no more, and He will make me glorified. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. We can't live as if there is no law. God has set down the law and commands. And if we do not keep His commands, we transgresseth the law. Because we're children of God, we keep His holy commands because we love Him. Not because it's a set of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. It's because of our love for Him, because we're free, that we get to keep His commands, that we get to love Him, that we get to love one another, that we get to honor our father and mother. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin, period. Whoever abides in Him does not sin, meaning does not continue in their sin, does not willfully and habitually continue in their sin. If you continue in your sin, if that is your lifestyle, that you're not grieved over your sin, you're not convicted, you're not a child of God. Whoever sins, whoever continues in their sins, whoever does not grieve over their sin, is not saddened by their sin, has neither seen Him nor known Him. It never was real. Probably just some emotional experience you had. You said prayer, but it wasn't real. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Can all of you say in here, don't worry, Brandon, we won't let anyone deceive us? Yourselves that. Can you answer that and say, you know what? We won't. We won't let anyone deceive us. How are you going to do that? By staying in this. By continuing on your knees in prayer. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. If you live a life and you're not grieved over it, you're of the devil. There's that line again. You're not a child of God. You're not in light. You're over here with the devil. You're in darkness. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. That is, he who is begotten of God does not sin. And what does that mean? Does that mean that I don't ever sin again? No. Does not have... Go ahead, Crystal. Yes, does not continue in their sin. For if you truly have been born of God, you do not continue in your sin. You do not make it a lifestyle. And when you do sin, you know, you're so grieved that you confess. And listen to the rest of this verse. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. And that is so comforting to know that God's seed will remain in me. It will remain. It will abide. And I cannot fall into a lifestyle of sin. I cannot lose my salvation. Praise God. Praise God. Guys, go home and study this again and again and again. Wondrous truths in here. And Lord willing, next week we'll be up to verse 10, which says, in this the children of God and the children of devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So that's where we'll be next week, Lord willing. back in our regular place down the hall here. I hope to see all you guys there. You'll be gone. We're going to miss you. But the rest of you, want to see you here.